Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Albany's three men in a room. You know, the governor and two legislative leaders who seem to make all the decisions have already come to an agreement on the fiscal year 2013 state budget. That's due by midnight Saturday because the fiscal year begins April 1st. And the legislature is expected to approve the deal this afternoon. I'm joined now by Liz Benjamin, host of Capital Tonight on the Upstate Cable Network YNN and writer with their State of Politics blog to discuss the details. Welcome back to the show, Liz Benjamin.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So the good news for New York City seems to be in the school budget, which saw a nice increase, or at least one piece of good news for New York City. First
right.
school funding increase in a while from Albany. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's actually even more than there was originally supposed to be because the governor agreed last year after a very deep education aid cut overall statewide of about $1 billion. He agreed at that time, sort of to take the edge off the pain, that there would be a 4% education aid increase in this fiscal year. So we knew that going in. And as you know, typically, education and healthcare, which also saw a 4% increase, are the areas of the budget where there's the most consternation and battle. So that was sort of off the table already going into this year. In addition, thanks to that tax code reform deal that the governor and the legislature cut last December, which raised taxes to a certain degree on the wealthy in the state, mm-hmm. there was sufficient revenue around to stick to those pledges that the governor had made. That was about a $805 million increase in education aid. They did fight a little bit about the allocation, but overall, that money is indeed there. The only problem is, particularly for upstate schools, because the property tax cap isn't really a problem in New York City, this property tax cap that was passed last year, as you'll recall, was 2%. It is difficult for schools. They can't raise the kind of revenue that they're used to, and they're struggling right now to come up to their first budgets. So, under that cap. So they're basically saying, this is great. We're really happy for the increase, but it's not going to be sufficient to cover our shortfall. In the city, however, the city fared very well. Mayor Bloomberg was very thrilled with this budget, and he said so. Which, of course, is a little bit unusual because traditionally there's been a lot of tension between the mayor of New York City and the governor of New York.
Tell me more about the impact on the suburban schools, because, as you know, we also have a lot of listeners in Nassau and Suffolk and Westchester and Rockland, especially those four suburban counties.
Right.
Because of the property tax cap that more affects the suburbs, they are not so happy with the education piece of this budget.
Well, I wouldn't say not happy, per se. Look, first of all, they're never going to be happy. I mean, no amount of money is never really enough, despite the fact that you hear a lot from the governor that New York is number one in spending and number 38 in results, which is something that he, you know, can't abide. That's part of the reason why he wanted to allocate $250 million of that increase, that 4% increase, through what he called competitive grants, which would match District A up against District B. They'd have to apply for it, and based on, you know, performance, really, and standards, one district would win out over another. Advocates said that was unfair. Districts said that was unfair. Some districts said they couldn't even afford to apply because they didn't have a grant writer. And essentially, the legislature won out on that one. $200 million of the $250 will just be straight aid, and it will be allocated in particular towards high-needs districts. This is a battle, as you know, Brian, that has been going on for years. The formula in the education formula of the state is incredibly dense and difficult to understand, and it nobody really understands how it works, but it doesn't always give the school districts that need the most an adequate amount. And they, you know, this was the base of the CFE lawsuit, which just, you know, for future reference, is probably going to be reignited.
CFE Campaign for Fiscal Equity, which argued that under the state constitution, New York City public schools especially were not getting enough money from the state for an adequate education for our kids. So that's going to be back in play, you say. Well, here's a health care question on the budget from one of our listeners, Marie in Brooklyn calling in. Marie, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning. I'd like to know whether the budget restores the appalling cuts in EPIC, which, as you know, is the New York State prescription drug program that helps people pay for prescription drugs if we're old enough and broke enough to qualify. The cuts have increased my expenses by about 11 times over.
The short answer is yes.
Yes, what?
The EPIC cuts were restored. It's about $30.6 million to this program. And that if people aren't familiar with it, it helps low and moderate income seniors pay for medications that are not covered by Medicare. This is a really popular program. And under this agreement, my understanding is that seniors go back to paying the $3 to $20 for each prescription that they receive through federal Medicare Part D instead of 25%.
Uh-huh. So that's a headline, really. That's a big thing for a lot of older New Yorkers.
Yes, particularly, and not to be too terribly cynical about it, but older New Yorkers vote. You know, older people generally vote.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would have bet at the outset that this wouldn't have stood because AARP, of course, and other various different advocacy groups for people who are over a certain age are very active at the Capitol. And, of course, they, you know, the constituents make sure that their elected officials hear it.
Marie, thank you for your call. And you got some good news there. An item not in the budget also pertains to health care.
Yeah.
It is the health insurance exchange for New York State, the one that all states are supposed to set up under the President's Affordable Health Care Act. I guess the Senate Republicans prefer to take their chances that the Supreme Court will just kill the bill. But does it matter to New York that they're not setting this up in advance in the event that the bill goes forward?
Well, the governor has said that he will act himself through executive order. So not really is the answer to that question. And the state has already received millions of dollars from the feds, and my understanding is that they would forfeit that money or some of that money if they don't go through with the setting up of the exchange. You know, the funny thing about this is that the Senate Health Committee Chairman Kemp Hannan was very involved in, you know, proposing and drafting the legislation that would have set up the health care exchange. And initially, the Senate Republicans balked at it because it came on the heels of that very contentious and, I think, controversial, particularly inside the conference. As I think people remember, there were these mega marathon closed-door conferences where the Republicans tried to hash out their votes on gay marriage. In the wake of the passage, which required four Republicans to go over to vote with the Democrats, they then took up the health care exchange. This was last summer. And I think that internally reports were that the Republicans balked at codifying, quote-unquote, Obamacare, particularly on the heels of something that they were so upset over and roiled the conference so deeply. Now, of course, there are oral arguments, or there were this week, at the U.S. Supreme Court. We don't know what the status is going to be. Will the court decide that without the individual mandate, should they determine that it's unconstitutional, that the whole Health Care Reform Act actually is null and void, then, you know, this whole question is moot. So the governor, although the Senate Republicans are not going to challenge the governor in his creation unilaterally through executive order of the health care exchange, so they sort of get to have their cake and eat it, too. They get to go out to constituents and say, we rejected Obamacare, and at the same time, the state will have a health care exchange and not forfeit federal money.
Right. That's interesting. Liz Benjamin, my guest, the irrepressible Albany watcher with the Capital Tonight program on the Upstate Cable Network, YNN, formerly with the Daily News, as many of you will remember. One other thing about the exchanges regarding what kind of exchange New York is going to have under this. Last summer, we talked to the other Elizabeth Benjamin, the one from the Healthcare for All New York campaign, and she was very concerned that New York adopt the Massachusetts-style exchange, which is seen as a positive model, which would require the insurance companies to communicate clearly with consumers about what's in these different packages and negotiate lower rates, as opposed to what's considered a Utah-style exchange, where the information is much less clearly communicated and there's not as much cost power at the consumer level. Has the governor taken a position on this? Because we've been waiting for that here.
Yeah, there were a lot of discussions and there were hearings and there was all this talk about should it be a nonprofit, should it be a government, you know, a separately run entity, should there be it be a government run entity, how much information about who's involved should be out there. I mean, it was just exhaustive. However, I, to be honest with you, cannot recall all
which,
the details.
Which way he's going.
Right. But the governor, I think we will know. He said this week for the healthcare exchange executive order, I haven't yet, you know, seen it, obviously. They're focused really on getting the budget complete. Friday is certainly not over yet, so he's got some time. But he will certainly show his hand when that executive order comes out, right? Because you can't create an exchange without laying out how that exchange is going to work.
Right. Well, we're almost out of time, and we're certainly not going to get to many of the things that are in this complicated new New York State budget. There's a close-to-home program that mm-hmm. will allow juvenile offenders to be placed in detention closer to New York City. If they come from New York City, the governor got his New York Works Infrastructure Bank. Are there any one or two that you would point to on the way out the door as important and worthy of more recognition?
Well, I would point to two interesting things. Well, two interesting things, just from a sort of insider political view of Albany. One is that the legislature gave the governor power to move money around after the budget is already codified without their approval, their prior approval, to consolidate back office operations and make government run more efficiently. And that's great, and it's going to make things more less difficult to say by paperclips, if you will, and codifies a lot of contract power in OGS, the Office of General Services. But I was a little bit surprised because they're always fighting over who's got more power, the executive or the legislature. The executive is very powerful in the budget, and of course, this is an unusually powerful executive, Andrew Cuomo. The other was that the legislature went along with the governor's desire to curb some of the pre-auditing powers where it comes to certain contracts of the state comptroller. The tension between this state comptroller and this governor, that would be Tom DiNapoli and Andrew Cuomo, dates back quite some time. But he does come out of the assembly, and I was a little bit surprised that they went along with it. However, I did speak to the speaker, Sheldon Silver, yesterday, and he said, you know, they told Tom, and he's okay with it. They did preserve his power in other areas.
Okay. I guess they're not mandating that all New Yorkers buy broccoli, right?
Not yet. Not yet.
Apparently, the states can do that under the Constitution, even though
that's what I hear.
Feds can't. Elizabeth Benjamin, host of Capital Tonight on the Upstate Cable Network, YNN, and she writes their State of Politics blog. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, we will profile the man who might be New York City's worst landlord. Stay tuned.